KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Resolution Fest, October 1st through 8th in Portland. Resolution Fest is a week-long celebration of the people and communities reimagining the landscape of the tech industry. Over 8 days, the intersections of technology, identity, culture, community service, education, social change, collaboration, and creativity will be examined. There will be documentary screenings, a Women Who Code Portland Networking Night, a Hacker Lounge, and much, much more. Again, that's Resolution Fest, October 1st through 8th, all over Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, September 27th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air and kboo.fm on the web. And it's all there because of all of you coming together. We are reporting again to Cody Hall with the Red Warrior Camp, and is going to join us in just a moment with a report from the Standing Rock camps and the Red Warrior. Cody is, of course, the representative of the Red Warrior Camp. More people arriving all the time, and that congregation of people, that confluence of traditions, tribes, and people from all across across North America, for that matter, are still pouring into the camps. And this is getting a lot more press overseas than it is in this country, I would venture to say. People, when we say the whole world is watching, the whole world is also listening. And what the whole world hears from the United States of America is this rather the hysterical attention to an election that's not an election, it's an auction. So, and the failure to report on these momentous historic actions that are taking place at the Cannonball. and across the Dakotas along the whole length of the proposed pipeline, where other pipelines that are in the same category and are operational at the moment. Many of these pipelines have no authority to be operating in the first place, and that's exactly where we are right now with the Dakota Access Pipeline. Is they want to put it through without proper vetting. The vetting process has not been complete. It's been a joke right from the get-go. Cody, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, good morning. I appreciate your interest still in this on this very particular subject, and thank you to your listeners as well.
This is bigger. This is a much bigger story. This is far more important than a presidential election that's not even, that cannot really be called that. It's who's got the most money. It's, and put your money on the table, I'll put mine, and we'll see. We'll see who stacks up the highest. It's just a high stakes poker game. That's what it is. It's just a card game, and it's fun to watch, of course. But this is certainly going to have longer effects. It's going to change a lot. Can you tell us what's currently is happening at the Kemp? And I understand that there is some legal procedures that are right now in process. Where do we stand and to all of these activities?
Yeah, there's still a lot at play. Right now, one of the latest things that the Energy Transfer did was purchase the Cannonball Ranch, which is where a majority of the rallies have happened, and especially where grave sites were desecrated. And so...
Whoa. They purchased it? They purchased it? They can't purchase that land. That doesn't belong... Who did they purchase it from? I mean, how can this be...
Energy Transfer purchased this land from the landowners. They're called the Myers family, and the Myers family sold out. They're a non-native family that own lands, parcels of land on the reservation, and they own that land just north of the reservation borderline. And so, to us, we see it as a illegal sale because we still follow the 1851 and 1868 treaty. And in those treaties, we never ceded the land. We never gave up this land. And so there's been illegal sale after sale. And this, again, is just another illegal sale. And so we're fighting that. We're pushing that, that pendulum a little bit. And, the narrative is ours, and we're speaking it, we're writing it, and we're informing people across the country that, the supreme law has always been treaties that the government has signed with Native tribes. And so we're upholding our end, but it's not the state government and U.S. government that are holding up their end. And so that's why we hold on to the 1851 and 1868 treaty, for which we have a right to be on these lands, to defend these lands, and also to know that we will fight against illegal sales such as this.
Well, what when this presumably the sale went through, and the land was acquired, but in how in the action the sale of land is a legal process. This is entirely. I don't see it as a valid sale at all. I don't see why it even should even require legal proceedings, since it's already established. Ownership of this land has already been established according to the 1851 treaty. It seems to me it's an absurdity to consider it anything but tribal land, native land. In any case, the land is tribal anyway, and one could make a very strong argument for that, but that's going another step to maybe a bridge too far. But in any case, is there anything else that we ought to know? Because mainstream media has been hopelessly inept and incompetent and slack in reporting on this.
Yeah, well, you know, what we're doing at camp is we're still pushing forward that we're going to make sure that this pipeline dies and it won't be built, but also to know that, you know, that we have asked for a call out of solidarity across the nation, and that, you know, we need that every day. We need players in different areas of the country, and especially along this pipeline and other pipelines. You know, you can access a map of every pipeline in America, and if you feel as if it's in you to take a stand for what is right, then we're asking you to do that, to stand, you know, with us, you know, to show your part in history here. This is the people's movement, and when I say people, this is everybody, regardless of your background and race and gender. Everybody has a part to play in this, as well as, you know, protecting the environment. And so that's why you see call to actions in Iowa, you know, Illinois, the Mississippi Stand, you know, where there's people locking themselves to machinery over in Iowa. You know, I fully support these actions just due to the fact that people are now hearing what we're saying all along in North Dakota. And we just need it across the board. You know, we need more people from the West Coast to the East Coast and North and South to take a stand now, because the energy companies and the oil companies are now feeling pressure, and they're scared that the people are awakening. They're, you know, we're finding alternative resources for fossil fuels, but they're trying to embed it into the mainstream of people, saying, you know, please keep purchasing gas and oil, but, you know, there's alternative measures for that. There's alternative ways. But I've been saying all along, there's no alternative for water. Once water is polluted, once the oil's in there, you cannot extract that. It's in. It's poison. And so we need to wake up as America and say, what are we doing to defend this? And the world itself is, you know, there's third world countries that are existing in poison water, and they've been, you know, they've been talking about this for decades.
Well, the United States of America is pretty much a third world country with poisoned water. Even as we speak, it seems that we would certainly be in that, find ourselves in that category. And certainly as far as corruption in government, we've got it all. We hit the trifecta. We've got corruption, we've got poisoned water, and our economy is an absolute shambles. They say they add jobs. These are the lowest paying service sector jobs imaginable. And sometimes they're held down, two or three of these jobs, by one person desperately trying to take care of their, put whatever Bush said, put their family on the table. That's what they're trying to do. Cody, this is wonderful. Tell us more to hear what is going on. This is really encouraging. We need to hear reports like this from the camps all the time. This is what gives us the inspiration to go forward, take a step, stand up in solidarity with these camps, because we are part of history in the making. This election. Not part of history. What's happening, though, at Standing Rock, that is. Tell us, what are people doing right now today at the camp? What does this upcoming week look like?
Well, we have about 3,000 campers, and the past few days we've been hit pretty hard with some wind that has damaged, you know, a lot of these tents. So we're now preparing, you know, really for the harsh winter, where we're thinking abroad now. We're thinking of, you know, surplus tents, you know, the wall tents, you know, these, so we can house people in there where they, you know, they feel safe. They, you know, a lot of these surplus tents can withstand the pressure from the winds. And so what we need is more support and help that way. I mean, you know, really that's one of the main concerns of the people at the camp is, you know, we need to find that type of shelter, because we are, in essence, going back to the basics of our existence as human beings, living, you know, with Mother Nature. And so with that, you know, we we're kind of out of sync a little bit, right?
Yeah.
We're out of sync of living in the elements. Our bodies are adjusting, but mentally at times we break down. We figure, oh, we can't do this. And that's a human feeling. That's a human emotion. That doubt will creep in. But again, we have to uplift each other, and we have to show support for each other. And so that's why, these things to come in, make our case for shelter. We're getting warm sleeping bags in. We still need more of those. Now we actually had people come from all across the country and all over the world that are coming here. I'm actually on my way to the airport to pick up a family that has flown in that wants to spend about a good week or two with the people. And so, that call is being made all across the board. And so, we have to definitely look out for the people on our end. We have a phenomenal cook that gives, that makes people 3 hot meals a day. And I tell you, during these cold spells, you should see the love and the compassion that all of us have for each other, where we sit together like a big family, and we're eating, and we're talking, we're sharing stories, we're getting to know each other more on a deeper level of where we come from and what our call is here for, really, the deep, that deep passion. And so, that in itself is, that love and warmth, it produces that happiness that we all see.
Hang on. I don't want to interrupt. But your words are incredibly powerful. We have to bid you farewell and invite you back again soon with an update on what's going on right now. It occurs to me that the United Nations, this might be a good place for some of those tents to be deployed, especially with the weather coming on. This has been Cascadia for Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. Steve Nassar is the engineer for us today. Thanks for that, Steve. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. You, the listeners, you, the members of